Okay, so we are doing Siman Yudalid of the Shulchan Aruch, the laws of Tzitzis, many practical, super relevant things we learn from this Siman in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch begins, Tzitzis Shasan En Yodi, if a non-Jew made Tzitzis, pasul, it's forbidden. Dechtiv Daber B'nei Yisrael Afuke Eino Yehudi. So the Jewish people must make the tzitzis. A non-Jew made the tzitzis, it is not kosher. Okay, so halacha lemaaseh, if you're walking in the Arab marketplace and you see some tzitzis, so I don't know why they're making tzitzis, but you might not want to buy that pair of tzitzis because maybe a non-Jew made it and to make some extra money. So don't buy that tzitzis. Now the Rama points out, based on the Maharil, that it's better if women also do not make your tzitzis. Because, why? What's wrong with women? Nothing, but there's two possible problems. One, women are not obligated to wear tzitzis, and therefore there may be an idea, the Maharil writes, that only those who are obligated can make the tzitzis. And the secondly, Debel B'nei Yisrael specifically might refer to the men and not the women. Now, this is not found in the Gemara. This Svara of the Maharil and many, like Tosfos and many other Rishonim, do not accept this idea. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, L'chadchila, a woman can make tzitzis. It's fine. No problem. However, the Rama brings down that L'chadchila, ideally, we should not have women make the tzitzis. B'diavad, if a woman made the tzitzis, everyone would agree it is kosher. No problem. Now, when we're saying making the tzitzis, we don't refer to the earlier processes in making the tzitzis, you know, like shazira and tvira, which are, you know, tying the knots. We're talking about that last step of putting the tzitzis onto the beged. That would be problematic, possibly, according to the Rama, but not according to the Shulchan Aruch. It's all good according to the Shulchan Aruch. So in this case, the Sfardim are a little bit more, you know, pro-women. Just joking, we all love women. But in this case, the women come out to be the feminists. The Sephardim are a little bit the feminists, a little bit, kind of. Okay, non-religious people, if they're making tzitzis, it's also problematic. And the Mishnah Brura points out that a katan also should not put on the garment, should not make the tzitzis, because he too is not included in B'nai Yisrael yet. And again, we're talking about the last process. However, interestingly, the Arzu Tachayim writes, we can rely upon a katan as long as a man is standing upon him, making sure that he doesn't have a hesach hadas and making sure that he has the right kavanas when making the tzitzis, making sure the tzitzis were done lishma. What does it mean to be done lishma? The Mishnah Berurah explains, you have to say, verbalize, l'shem mitzvah tzitzis before you make the tzitzis. So, obviously, I would say lechachila, we wouldn't have katanim doing it, but b'diavad, it seems like at least according to Arzu Tachayim, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, it's okay. I don't know how it works practically in factories. I'm assuming it's done by doilim. Can a katan make for another katan? It's another machlokas, and some are more lenient to make a katan making for another katan their tzitzis. Okay, one more practical takeaway, the Dirshu points out that women are not obligated to wave lulavs, and so they shouldn't bind the lulav. And if they did, you should redo it. It could be ma'akif. And children, too, should not do the finishing stages of binding together the lulav, putting the koishlach. You should do that yourself because children are not obligated. So that's super halacha l'maisa. Okay, Se'if 2, 14.2. Shulchan Aruch writes, you should put tzitzis on l'shma, as we mentioned earlier. However, the Rambam says it's okay if you didn't. The Mishnah Berurah explains that according to the Rambam, only a non-Jew, we are concerned about kavana. For a Jew, we automatically assume he had the right kavana. So being choishesh for this Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you had tzitzis which were not made l'shma, b'diavad, it's okay, but l'chachila, it's not okay, and one should not say a bracha for that reason. Mishnah Berurah asks, so why not just, you know, re-undo it and redo it again? Maybe we're talking about a situation where it's right before Shabbos and you don't have an opportunity to do so, but halacha l'maaseh, we should definitely make sure our tzitzis were bought from a place that are trustworthy, and they were made lishma. Interesting to see here that the Shulchan Aruch quotes his sources. It's not only just bottom line. Often we do see the Shulchan Aruch quote Rishonim like the Rambam. Okay, Siman 14, Seif 3. A borrowed talis does not get a bracha, writes the Shulchan Aruch, because the Pasuk says, Ksutcha, you have to own it. If you're lending it out, you do not own it. But after 30 days, then it becomes yours. However, the Shulchan Aruch clarifies that if it's a mitzuyetzes, if it was lent to you with tzitzis on it, not just the beged, so then we assume that it was given to you as a gift, and you can make tzitzis a bracha even on that tzitzis that was lent by your friend. Mishnah Berurah writes, lichat chila, you should have in mind that this is a gift that your friend is giving to you, almanas lahachzir, in order to give it back to him, and that way you own it. And then you avoid any possible problems of borrowing this tzitzis. However, that's only the chachila. B'di'evid, it's okay. Now, a very practical situation is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah. When you are getting an aliyah for davening, maybe you're the chazan, or for reading the Torah, so you will put that talis on you. And the Derech Chaim says you should have in mind not to acquire if you're borrowing your friend's talis. Let's say you're an unmarried Ashkenazi man, you borrow your friend's talis. Have in mind not to acquire it, because if you acquired it, then you might have to say a bracha on it for that short period. So that's a good etza. Have in mind, I'm not being kind of it. But if you borrow a shul's talis, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that will not help. You can't have in mind not to be kona it. The talis was bought specifically that you have a chelik in it, so you can't unchelikify it, and therefore you would have to bless, writes the Mishnah Berurah, and writes the Taz, since you're blessing on this talis, you should check to make sure that it's kosher, which is challenging because you don't have much time between wearing the talis and getting the aliyah. The good news is, in this matter, Rabbi Meltzer brings down in Sefer, which I often use as a source book for Hilchot Tzitzis, Gershon Meltzer, that the modern minug is not to say a bracha when you're grabbing the shul's talis to get an aliyah. Why not? Why do we rule against the Mishnah Berurah? Perhaps because tzitzis are often not kosher, and so it could be a bracha batala. I wonder if nowadays, you know, we assume that most people have their own individual talitot and people have more money nowadays. For whatever the reason, the minug is that people do not say a bracha when grabbing a shul talis and saying and getting an aliyah. As a side note, if you do wear it all of davening, of course you should say a bracha, even if you borrow it from the shul. And men should wear a talis when they get an aliyah, even single men. And even if you're being called up to be getting hagba, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, you should probably wear a talis. You see some people are mocked about that. Aruch HaShulchan writes, if you have a jacket on, that might also be like a mechubad type of thing, so you might not need a talis. So that's a good thing. If you can be mocked about that, and it won't make you drop the Sefer Torah, so then why not? And a lot of posts can even write you, you should wear a talis whenever you're being a shliach tzibor, even for Marv. You'll see that that is a minhag in many places. Moshe Rabbeinu wore a talis when he was standing for it. Hashem taught him to wear a talis whenever you're standing for the tibor. So it's a good thing to wear a talis whenever you're davening. So that is, but you know, you can go by the minhag of your congregation. 14.4, another super relevant seif. You can borrow your friend's talis if you don't have a talis, as long as you fold it back, writes the Shulchan Aruch, as long as you put it back in its place. And the Rama writes, same is true with tefillin. You can borrow your friend's tefillin. What is the rationale? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Gemara in Pesachim teaches us that nichalele inish de la'avid b'mitzvah. People like when you use their items to do a mitzvah, because then they get schar in the next world for you using their matters. So we can assume that people want you to use their holy things for holy matters. So you can assume people want you to use their talis and tefillin. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are a number of limiting factors. One, if you know, or if it's reasonable to assume the other person is machban, he doesn't want you borrowing their talis or tefillin, then you should not borrow it. Two, it should not be done on a consistent basis. If you're consistently borrowing someone's tefillin and their talis, we can assume people don't want that. You know, get your own talis. So don't do it consistently. Three, if you could ask them and you're not asking them, like you could WhatsApp or call them, then you really should ask them, because we can only base ourselves on this assumption if there's no other option. We don't want to take a chance on being goyzel. So that's how some people, some placing, right? This might not apply to Svarim. The Mishnah Berurah writes, it would not apply to Svarim. The Rama writes, you can't borrow someone else's Svarim because you might rip the Sefer. It's from a very expensive back then. Mishnah Berurah is, also, by the way, the Pnini Halacha writes that some people are machbit about tefillin nowadays. They don't want you using their tefillin. You know, we're more queasy about tefillin, and maybe you'll get it sweaty. So I would say it probably depends on the scenario and how queasy people are. And same, the Aruch Shulchan writes is about talis. Sometimes people are queasy about them using your talis. So it all really depends on the scenario. If they put away their talis in like a cubby and you can assume that they don't want you using their talis, then don't use their talis. You don't want to take a chance again on Geza. What about Sfarim? So the Mishnah Berurah does not understand why the Olam is Mekel and people do borrow other people's Sfarim and Sitters and Machzurim, but that is the Minhag of the Olam. Nowadays, the Pnini Halacha writes, or Melamed writes, that since Sfarim are cheaper, and you know, it's not, we have a lot more money nowadays, maybe that's why the Minhag is to allow other people to borrow your Sfarim. And that makes a lot of sense to me, as long as you put the Sfarim back in place and make sure not to damage the Sfarim. Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes, and nowadays a lot of people will write in their Sfarim, Ein Rishus, there's no Rishus to borrow your Sefer. So since that's such a common practice, if they don't write Ein Rishus, we can assume that we do write, allow a person to borrow that Sefer. I actually write in my Sfarim, Yesh Techa Rishus, you definitely have Rishus, because I want to get more Shchar in the next world for you borrowing my Sfarim. There is a big machlokas about lending out a Sefer that you borrowed. It's a big machlokas, so, you know, Ayin into the Paiskim. Can I borrow someone's English book or someone's basketball? L'chayra, it would seem no, because this whole leniency is only if it's for a mitzvah, but for a not-mitzvah purpose. So I don't think it would apply. Oh, well, you're in a taina. Well, I want to play basketball, so I'll be rest and relaxed so I can learn more Torah. So it is a mitzvah. That's a very creative svara. I'm not sure. Women also are allowed to borrow a lulav for the sake of a mitzvah or any minhag. This leniency of borrowing would apply. Finally, the last if of the Shulchan Aruch is that talis shel shutavim chayevet betzitzis lichtiv al kanvig dehem. If you're borrowing a tzitzis, and many people own a tzitzis together, then it is chayev in tzitzis. Just shows the poverty in the olden days that they couldn't afford one talis, so they would join together to buy a talis. But you could still say a bracha on that talis. And Adkan Simen Yodalid of the Shulchan Aruch. Hope you enjoyed this little halacha podcast. If you did, we're going to continue to try to make recordings on every Simen of the Shulchan Aruch. And I hope you enjoy it while you're exercising or doing shopping. And all the rest of the time, if you have free time, you can learn this from inside, obviously much better that way. If you have any questions, please ask. And I may have made mistakes in my summary of the Poiskim, so double check with greater rabbis than me if there's anything that I said which seems shady, and have yourself a wonderful day.